Today's show in the Daf Yomi is Gemara and Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Aleph. We're going to begin 5 lines from the Daf Nun Aleph, Omer Aleph. We're learning today for a number of people: Abraham Galerter, Avram Ben Dov Ber, Hyman Morgenstern, Chaim Tzvi Ben Moshe Dov, Isaac Wolf, Israel Rozansky, Yisrael Ben Henoch HaKohen, and also Theodore Wengrovsky. All the shalms we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety and success of Chayilei Tzahal. The Me'etz Hashem should go and bring back the Chatufim in good health, b'mheira, and anyone in need of refuah shleima should have one, b'mheira, and Me'etz Hashem, there should be shalom on all Kal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up 5 lines at the top, Nun Aleph, Omer Aleph. We're going to try to do Me'etz Hashem an extra Omer today to help us with Pesach coming up, so we'll go a little bit quicker. We begin Nun Aleph, Omer Aleph, 5 lines on the top with the word Ushbezichdei de Rami Bar Chama, the hotel keeper of Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama was staying at this person's properties, and this Ushbezichdei, the landlord of Rabbi Bar Chama, Zabin Chamra Vitor. He had sold wine, and he had made a mistake in selling the wine, and had sold it for too low a price. And he was very upset about it, as we'll see. Ashichei the Havatzev, Rabbi Bar Chama found him and saw that the owner was very sad. The person who had sold the wine, the Ushbezichdei, the landlord, was very sad. So Amalei, am I at Sivitz? Why are you so sad? So Amalei, Zavinei Chamra, I had sold wine, Utai, and I had sold it for too low a price, and I undercharged the person, and therefore I'm out money. So Rabbi Bar Chama said to him, Amalei, Zil Hadabach, so retract the deal. Go back on the deal. After all, you made a mistake. You charged him too little, and therefore you have entitlement to go and be mevatel the deal. So Amalei, Hashoyle Yosef Michtei She'ira L'Tagor Olikrovi. He says it's too late. It waited too long. It's more than the amount of time that it would take for me to show it to a professional, to the Tagor, or to a relative, which is a whole discussion that we had in yesterday's shir. The amount of time that it takes for you to go and bring it to the Tagor or the Karov. So that's the amount of time that you have to retract the deal, because you can then say, "Hey, listen, I just found out I was overcharged or undercharged, depending on the scenario." But here it says too late. But Rami Bar Chama tells him, no, go take this Din Torah to Rav Nachman. Shadri l'chamin to Rav Nachman. I'm suggesting that maybe he took it to Rav Nachman because he felt that he was an ogabadover and he couldn't paskin on the deal, so on the din over here. And therefore, he sent him to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman also, possibly, he was the head of the Beis Din that dealt with Dinei Mamonos like this, so therefore he sent the din to Rav Nachman to go paskin the case. Amalei, Rav Nachman said, lo shno el okeh, that which we said, that you have achi yira l'tagro l'karov, so that time period, that grace period, and once it's beyond that, the deal is done and you can't retract it. That's only when you're dealing with the purchaser. So the purchaser who has the object in his possession, as we've mentioned yesterday, and we'll see you later in today's shiur, when he has the object in his possession, so therefore he has a time limit. But the seller, Avo Mocher, no. He doesn't have the object in his possession, so there is no time limit. Olim Choser, whenever he finds out, hey, I sold this for the wrong price, as we'll see later in the Gemara, because it's only when it comes up that a similar item is coming to his attention. He says, hey, wow, it's worth that much. I sold it for less than that. So therefore, the mocher, the olim choser, is always allowed to go back. Now, what's the rationale? Let's see it inside. My time off. Because lokeach mikro biyodo, the person who purchased it has the item there. He can go show it to somebody. And kolhecho da'ozo machvele, whenever he wants to, he is able to go and show it to some professional and say, hey, did I get rooked or not? Varmile, ito ilota. And the professional will tell him, or the relative who understands this stuff will tell him, hey, you got rooked or no, you got a good deal. Mocher, however, the person who sold it no longer has it in his possession. The lo nokat mechle biyodei, he no longer has it in his possession. So ad de misrame le zivinto kizvinte, until it so happens that another sale comes into his possession, just like this original sale, and only then biyoda itovi loto, only then will he know, did I or did I not sell it for the right price? So therefore, he has forever la olam choser for the mocher, but the person who buys it only has achira l'tagor o l'koro. Now, another two ma'aser shohayos that illustrate the same point. How gavra davinokat varshichi lezabune. The once was a person who was selling varshichi. Rashi tells us that varshichi are kishure meshi. These are certain types of silk materials. They're called bindles. I don't know if it means the bindleish. I don't know if it means like the bindles that people put around their arms. It's like red bindles, the bracelets that people put around their arms. But anyway, that's something what it is. These silk ribbons. So Kari Shisa, he was calling out to people, hey, I'd like to sell them for six. However, Vishabi Khamsha, but they're only worth five. So he was, by definition, selling it for an overcharge of a sixth, at least according to Shmuel, who says you go by the purchase price and not by the objective price. So he's announcing, I want to sell them for six, but they're really only worth five. And everybody know, but if you actually pay him 5.5, he would take it. So 5.5 would be a pachos mishtos, and therefore the deal would be, as we learned yesterday, la'alter, it would go through, and we assume that everybody's machal on this little bit of an overcharge or undercharge for the less than a sixth. So that's what he was apparently going to be satisfied with. I'll sell it for 5.5, which is a slight overcharge, and the person will be machal. However, somebody who thought he was very sharp came along and said, a guy came along and said, listen, if I pay for it 5.5, so then that extra 0.5 that I'm paying is going to be a mechila because it's pachos mishtos, and la'alter there's a mechila, as we learned yesterday, and the mekach would be nikna, and I would have to pay 5.5 for it. I'm going to be sharp. You know what I'm going to do? I'll pay him 6 for it. Now that is that is a sixth, according to Shmuel, that says you go by the purchase price. So it's 1/6 of the purchase price. So therefore, I'm now able to go and retract this din and get my money back for the onah. So I'll be sharp over here. I'll pay him 6. Then I'll take him to a din Torah because I'll do it in the period of time that's the grace period of time and say, hey, you overcharged me. I'll keep the item and I'll get back one full zuz, one full measure over here. And this way, instead of paying 5.5, I'll actually only pay for it 5. Oh, I'll be sharp about it. I'll take him, pay for it for 6, attain leishisa, vizbailadina. Then I'll take him to din Torah and get back the onah. Also, the Kami the Rabbah. So he did exactly this. He went to Rabbah. And Rabbah said, sorry, Charlie, I'm late. Lo shanu ela belokeach ben atagar. This dinim of onah that we learned all of yesterday's year, the tagri load. So this din of onah only applies when you're purchasing something from a tagar, from a professional, from a person who is in business. However, abulokech belabayis, you're purchasing it from this guy who's a balabas. He's selling it out of his house. He's selling a couple of things over here. He's selling some varshichi, these ribbons. He has a bunch of them. So the din of onah don't apply to a private person like this. Lokeach belabayis, ain't lo alav onah. There is no din of onah. And sorry, you have to pay the 6. That's actually what you have to pay. And not only do you not get back the full extra 1, but you didn't even buy it for 5.5. You actually bought it for 6. Now, another story illustrates this point. How gava David Nokit kipe lizabune. There once was a person who was selling kipe. Rashi says kipe or nizom. That's normally translated as nose rings, but it might be earrings as well. So Nokit kipe lizabune. He was selling these nose rings, these nizom. Now, he was again announcing, Kari Shisin, I want to sell for 60. However, they were only worth v'shavi chamshin. So again, according to Shmuel, if he sells it for 60, this would be onah. This would be a sixth overcharge. Now, but again, exactly as the case before, he would be willing to go and accept 55 for it. Havishaku. Now, the 55 again would be pachos mishtos, and it would be la'alter nikne, la'alter machil, and therefore the person would not have any way to get back to 55. Havishaku, he would have taken the 55. Now, again, a smart guy comes along who outsmarts himself. Also, a guy comes along and says, listen, if I pay 60 for it, then I would get back the onah when I take him to court. However, if I pay 55 for it, I'm machuli alter. If I pay 55 for it, I have a mechila alter, and I'll lose that extra 5. And I'll be smart over here. I'll give him 60, and then I'll take him to din. Kadesh yiru letagar. Lekarov, within the grace period of time, via Boiladin, I'll take him to the din. The din Torah will say, okay, you get to keep the item and get back the onah. I'll get back the extra 10 that I paid. So he did just this, exactly as the case before with the Varshichi. And also, the coming to Rechista, he went to Rechista. Amalei, Rechista tells him, sorry, again, same exact answer that Rava gave. Amalei, lo shanu elu belokech min atagor. These dinim of onah only apply when you're buying it from a professional, before buying from a store, from a tagor, from a merchant. Abu belokech min balabais, but if you're buying it from a private person, so then there are no dinim of onah. Ain lo olav onah, and we'll explain the reason why this in a moment. So Amalei, Rav Dimi heard this. He said, Yasha kayach, Yasha. He said, very good. And saying, Chayin Amar Rav Elazar heard these piskei din, Yisha. He said, yeah, Yasha kayach. This is the correct way to paskin. There is no din of onah by a private person. Belokech v'balabayis ein lo olav onah. Ayin Gemara says, we're going to learn in a Mishnah in one moment. That's the Mishnah that's right here on our daf. But we're going to see in this Mishnah in a moment. Kishem shonah lehejot kachono letagar. There is onah on both sides. There's the onah for the person who's selling stuff, the professional salesman, the merchant, the tagar, and There's also an offer for the hedgehog for the person buying it. Now, when you say the hedgehog, what do you mean? Man, hedgehog, la balabais, aren't we talking about a balabais? Someone says, no. When we're talking here about the sale of this balabais, we're talking about Amr Chista Bitsad Riyasa. There we're talking about a person who has big day kanbus, Rashi says. He has some cotton garments that he's selling, and this is like a private business, albeit it's not a store, it's not a tagar, but this is obviously not something that the person has in his own house, as we'll see in when we learn the next Mishnah, and we'll explain this more there in the Gemara. When a person is a Baal HaBayis, he's not selling stuff that's normally for sale. He's selling his own personal items, and therefore he's going to sell them at a higher price. Otherwise, he wouldn't sell them. He's not doing this for business. He's probably desperate for money, and therefore he's selling his own personal belongings. So that's why there's no onah in that situation, because, yeah, by definition, he's going to sell them for a higher price. However, bitzad riyotza, that's like a business. So when this Baal HaBayis has this type of a business, even though he's not a tagar, in that situation, there is onah. Just like there's onah for the tagar, there's onah for this Baal HaBayis, this head yod, who's doing business from his house, as opposed to somebody who's selling his personal belongings because he needs cash. So that's what Ruchista tells us. Bitzad riyotza, when you're dealing with tzad riyotza, a business from the house, even though he's not a tagar, he's in business to sell these things. So then there are dinim of onah for even the hedgehog for the Baal HaBayis. Avo money tashmishi say, but personal belongings that he's unfortunately selling because he's in desperate need of cash. So in that situation, the Yakire Ale, they're very valuable to him. So they're worth more than the, quote, market price. This is his personal belongings. And therefore, Lo Mizabelu Ilab B'dimei Yisere. He's only going to sell it if he gets the good price for it. He's not going to sell it at the market prices. He's going to sell it only at a high price. And that's why there's no onor for that type of a Baal HaBayis. Now we'll see this in the next Mishnah. Echad HaLokech V'Echad HaMocher. There is a din of both by the purchaser as well as by the seller, the one who's lokeach, the one who's buying it, and the echad amocha, and the one who's selling it. Both of them, the dinim of onor that we've learned, yesh lohen onor. There are dinim of onor both on the purchaser as well as on the seller. And kishem shonor lehedro kachanor letagar. And that's what we just brought down a second ago. Here's what we're quoting it from the Mishnah inside. The dinim of onor apply both to a hedro, which we explained was the person selling from his house, bitzad riyosa, the person has a little business come out of his house, even though he's not a professional store, he's not a professional tagar. Nevertheless, there's onor for the hedro, just like there's onor for the tagar, for the professional businessman. And we'll explain why would we think that there wouldn't be. But review the Omer, ain't onor letagar. Review this says an enigmatic statement. He says there is no din of onor for the professional, for the merchant, for the guy who's in business. And obviously, we'll have to explain exactly what this is talking about. We'll have two different explanations in the Gemara. Now, mishahut al olav yodo al yona. We had this also previously in the sugya of the tagari load. If somebody has had onor done to them, so the one who was cheated, so yodo alo yona, he's in the better position. In meaning, the Mishnah tells us, rotza, if he wishes, he has a fielder's choice. If he wants, rotza, omelo tain li maosi. He says, give me back the money, the deal doesn't go through. Or alternatively, he has the right to say, no, I want the deal to go through, just give me back the amount that you overcharged me, the six that you overcharged me, o tain li ma sheini sani, give me back that amount which you overcharged me, but I want the deal to go through. So rotza, the key word over here is in our mission, it says, rotza, the person who was cheated, he has the option. It's up to him. If he wishes, he can say the deal is null and void, or if he wishes, say the deal is a good deal, I just get back my onor, the amount that I was cheated. Okay, the Gemara starts off and asks the following question. We just brought down that this applies, Echad Elokeach V'Echad HaMocher, the dinim of onor, apply on both sides. So, Mino Hanimili, how do we know this? So the Gemara tells us, and we had this price previously as well, the Tana Rabbanon. We have the whole pasuk. I'll first read the whole pasuk. V'chi simkiru mimkor la'amisecha, o kono miyad amisecha, which seemingly will be extra words, and we'll have to explain them. That's the drasha. Al tonu, don't cheat, don't do onah. So now, we start off with Yudash in the first part of the pasuk. V'chi simkiru mimkor la'amisecha, lo sonu, al tonu. Go, and when you sell something, don't have onah. So that would teach me, ainli elo shinis ana lokeach. That would tell me, when you're selling something, don't cheat the lokeach. So that would tell me that the din of onah apply for the lokeach's perspective. How do we know that they also apply to the seller's perspective? Nis ana mocher minayin. How do we know that the mocher is also protected by the onah laws? So Talmud Omer, that's why we have the middle extra part of the pasuk. O kano miyad amisecha. So you have Altonu applies also to Okano Miyad Amisecha. So therefore it applies Echad Elokeach V'Echad HaMocher. Gemara continues and says, "V'itzrich lemichtet lokeach, v'itzrich lemichtet mocher. Why do I need a drasha with both? Why can't I learn one from the other? And just tell me one time and leave out the words, O kanom yamisecha, or leave out the words, v'chisim kiro mimkor lamisecha." So you need both, because each one has an aspect to it that you wouldn't know the other one. Because the chasav rechman mocher, if you only told me the din, that the person who's selling is not allowed to go defraud the other people, I would have said, Mishum Dekim Leib Zvinte, because he's the professional. He knows what's going on. He knows what he's selling. He knows the prices. So therefore, he's not allowed to go and cheat. However, Avalokeach, the Lokim Leib Zvinte, but the person who's buying them, he's not an expert. He's walking to the store. So, yeah, if you tell me this is the price, okay, I'll pay for it. But then I find out that you cheated me, so then I should have the rights of the protection of Onor. So, Ema, Lo Azre Rechbona, Belo Sonu. But if he gets a great deal, so I might have thought that he shouldn't have to worry about or not. If he actually bought something for far less than it is, he's not the one that's selling it. So I would have said, well, the buyer doesn't get involved in the din of Onor. If he paid much less for it, so tough luck on the mocher. So therefore, you need the pasuk to tell me that, yes, it applies to the buyer as well. No, just tell me then the buyer. Because if it went a lokeach, I would have said, Mishum de Kokani, because he purchased something, and the person who purchases something is in a better position. As we say, the Amri Yinshi, the popular aphorism was, Zavnis Kanis. When you buy something, you now have something. So you're in a very good position. And therefore, it is in your betterment that you have this object. So you're gaining. So therefore, the dinam of Anah apply to you. Abu Mocher. The abude komovid, he is losing something. By definition, when you sell something, you no longer have it. So the popular aphorism is, the Amri Yinshi, people say, Zabin Ovid, the one who sold something has lost something. So therefore, I might have said, Emo, lo azre rachmona, below sonu, since he's losing something, so maybe we give him a consolation prize that there are no dino of onor for him. Therefore, I might have thought that the lo keach only has onor and not the mocher. Therefore, kamash v'lon, sricha, you need the pasuk to tell me that the dinam of onor apply, echad lo keach, v'echad mocher. More continues and then it quotes that statement, that enigmatic statement that we have from Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Omer, ain onor l'tagor. There is no such thing as onor for a professional, for the one who's selling. So what in the world does that mean? Mishum shu tagor, ain lo onor, because he's a professional, he doesn't have onor. Pum faket, I would have said the opposite. Since he really knows the prices, he's a professional, he's a real merchant, so certainly there should be onor for him. So the Gemara gives us two terutz. The first one is Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav. Rav Nachman said the name of Rav, we're dealing over here with Tagar Safsar Shanu. We're dealing over here with a middleman. A Safsar is someone who Rashi says, Kone Umocher Miyad, Tomid. He's constantly buying and selling. He's a middleman. He picks up an odd lot over here, and then he sells it. He picks up an odd lot over there, and then he sells it. So this is a Tagar Safsar. He's a professional, but he's dealing constantly back and forth with different types of commodities, buying and selling. And therefore, Rav Yehuda says, such a person ain onor l'tagar. There is no din of onor for such a person. Why is that? My time up. Meida yada zevinte kamshavi. He's a professional. When he's buying an odd lot, when he's buying stuff, so he knows exactly what it's worth. And therefore, the achule achil gabe. And therefore, if he undersells something, it is accepted that he knew the prices and was willing to go and take the lower price for it. Why is that? Because the high desab the hockey, because why did he sell it at such a low price? Because he needed cash. And Mishum the Israme Le Zavinto Achrite, he got another deal that was a better deal than this one. So this one he would make 5% on. But if he had cash to buy the other deal, he'll make 20% on that one. So therefore he's willing to take a loss over here on this one, in other words, to sell it for a little bit less to get the cash that he needs to buy the other deal. And therefore, in this situation, we are going to say that there is no onor for such a safsar, a middleman. He's a professional, and therefore he's buying and selling. He knows exactly the prices, and he's willing sometimes to undersell something, to sell it at a lower price, because he needs the cash to buy something at a better price that he'll make more money on. And therefore, v'hashto miya kohadabe. So therefore, he, by definition, is selling it at that price. No, afterwards the other deal fell through. He says, oh, I better go get back my money from the first deal. No, it's obviously only now that he wishes to go and be harder, and therefore, once he originally sold it with the intention, knowing that he's going to be losing out on the deal because he's going to have a better deal. So if the other better deal falls through, he can't go back and say, hey, I want my money back. Okay, that's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi Omar, my ain litagor ono. What did Rav Yehuda mean when he says the tagor has no ono? It means he's not included in the dinim of ono. Eino bitoras ono, period. Even if it's pachos mishir ono. Shafilu pachos mikdei ono, choser. This businessman over here, according to Rav Yehuda, he doesn't have any dinum of onor. He is allowed to get back even pachos min onor. He's not mochel on anything. Because the rationale here is, because Rashi points out, this guy is working on a very, very little margin. And therefore, Im Nisana, Rashi says, D'chayav tluyim b'kach. This guy is desperate. He makes 1% markup on every one of these things. So if it's losing out even a small amount, v'tiknu lo shi'azor. So the rabbi said, because you're working on such a small margin over here, so any amount for you is considered significant, even if it's pachas b'shir anor. And that's what Ravashi says, Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana meant in our Mishnah, when he says there's no onor for a tagar, it's because he's working with such small margins here, so even a pachas b'onor is significant for him. No, who is right? Is the opinion of Nachman Amar Rav correct, or the opinion of Rav Ashi correct? So we have a brayse in support of the opinion of Rav Nachman Amar Rav. Tanya Kavasi, the Rav Nachman. We have a brayse that supports exactly what Rav Nachman said, because Rabbi Yehuda Omer, our Rabbi Yehuda from our Mishnah, says, Beferish in the brayse, Tagar Ein Lo Ana, Mipnei Shu Baki, because he's such an expert on this, and therefore, as Rav Nachman Amar Rav had said, he knows exactly what he's selling it for. He's willing to take a loss over here to sell it for a little bit less, because he needs the cash in order to go do a better deal. So therefore, we have a brisa in support of the first opinion of Nachman Amar Rav, as opposed to the opinion of Rav Ashi. More than quotes the Mishnah, Mishu talolov yodo al yonu v'chulei, we said that the one who was cheated, he has the upper hand, and the Mishnah said, Ratzah, if he wishes, he can say the deal is null and void, or Ratzah, if he wishes, he can say, I want the deal to go through, but I just want the shir onor back. Now, the Gemara says, who is the author of our Mishnah? Mani Matznisin. It doesn't appear to be the opinion, lo Rabbi Nosson, lo Rabbi Yudan Nasi. These are opinions that we learned previously. Yes, they share and before. And this is, the Gemara explains, it can't be our Mishnah because Rabbi Nosson, if our Mishnah is to be the Shita of Rabbi Nosson, so then our Mishnah says, Masnisin Ketani Rotza, if he wants, he can have the deal null and void. If he wants, he can say, no, I want the deal to go through. I just want the Onoah back. But that's not the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. Ubraisa, where we had brought down Rabbi Nosson previously, in Yesterday Shira on the Tagri Lud, so then Ubraisa, Lok Tani Ratsa, the Braisa there, quoting Rabbi Nosson, said no, he doesn't have the option to go and have the deal null and void. No, the deal is true. The deal goes through. He just gets the right to get back the Onah. So it wouldn't be a fielder's choice according to Rabbi Nosson, but our Mishnah says it's a fielder's choice. So obviously, our Mishnah is not going in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. Oh, then it must be the only other opinion that we know. E review that Nazi. It must be the opinion of review that Nazi. That also can't be because our Mishnah said Masizin Ktani Lokeach. Our Mishnah seems to imply that this din only applies to the Lokeach. Our Mishnah said specifically that in this situation, Rotsa Omelo Tainli Maosi or O Tainli Masha Inisoni. So that implies it's only talking about the purchaser. He said, give me back my money. So he was the one that paid the money. He's the buyer. So therefore, our Mishnah seems to imply that this then only applies to the Lokeach, Mansisin Ketani Lokeach. And yet, the Braisa, where Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's opinion is brought down, the Braisa Ketani Mocher, the Braisa says both of them. We learned yesterday in the Tagri Lud, he said that whoever it is has the upper hand, whether the one who was cheated has the upper hand, whether it was the buyer or the seller. So again, our Mishnah doesn't seem to go like Rabbi Nosson. Our Mishnah doesn't seem to go like Rabbi Nosson. Those are the only two opinions we know. So Mani Matznisin, who's the author of our Mishnah? So we'll give three Terutzim over here with four Amorayim mentioned in the Terutzim, and that's the Simon that we have, Zimin, Zav, Rosh. This is the mnemonic for the various Amorayim that are going to be brought down now. Again, sometimes the mnemonics over here aren't exactly what we might have made on our own, but they were mnemonics to help them remember. They did this all by heart, and it's a school to say over these mnemonics. So, Simon Zav, Rosh. So, the Zion stands for Rabbi Elazar. He's the first one. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ona, Zu, and Yodem Mishana. You're 100% right. This is a very good question. There must be a third opinion, our Mishnah. It's not in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. It's not in accord with the opinion of Yehuda Nasi. Our Mishnah is a third Tana. We don't know who this is. That's Teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rab Omar. Rabba is the mnemonic vays for Rabba. So Rabba Omar Li'olam Rabbi Nosson. The Mishnah is really Rabbi Nosson. Our Mishnah goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. In our Mishnah, it said Ratzah, and in the Braisa, it didn't say Ratzah. He only gets his Onor back in the Braisa. And our Mishnah said, if he wants, he gets the Onor back. If he wants, the deal is null and void. So, granted, change around the Braisa. Utni nami be Braisa Ratzah. Because the Braisa actually should have said that it's a fielder's choice. And our Braisa with Rabbi Nosson is actually the same as our Mishnah. It's a fielder's choice. If he wishes, he can say the deal is null and void. If he wishes, the deal goes through, and I get my Onor back. So, therefore, very simple. Rabba says our Mishnah and the Braisa are exactly the same Shita. It's Rabbi Nosson. That's Teretz number two. Teretz number three is Rabba. That's the Reish in the mnemonic Rosh. And then Rava's explanation will be added to by Rav Ashi. That's the Shin in the mnemonic. So here there's two. The Rosh, Reish, and Shin is the third answer, and it's a combination of these two. So Rav Amar, Teretz number three, Leolam Rav Yehuda Nasi. In fact, our Mishnah is in accord with the opinion of Rav Yehuda Nasi. And Rav Yehuda Nasi seemed to mention both the Lokeach and the Mocher, and our Mishnah only seemed to mention the Lokeach. So how do you reconcile that? Umay the Shia b'Masnisin come forish b'Raisa, that the Brisa is explaining what was missing from our Mishnah. Not that our Mishnah didn't agree with the Brisa just expands it further. So that's what Rav's Teretz is. That in fact, my the Shia b'Masnisin come forish b'Raisa. How is that? So Amar Ravashi, Ravashi explains, Daikonami. I'll show you that this explanation of Rav is correct because look carefully. The Tani Echad Elokeach VeEchad Mocher. The beginning of the Mishnah says that the dinim of Onah applied both to the purchaser and to the seller. And then Umefarish Elokeach, but it only gives you the example of Elokeach. So therefore, it wasn't trying to be expansive and trying to explain anything. It just gave one example, and therefore the Brisa then gave both examples. Shma mina Shure Shire LeMocher. So therefore, our Mishnah specifically left out that din, but it wasn't saying that it's not true. And in fact, the din is like Rav Yehuda Nasi said, both the Lokeach and the Mocher, Shma Mino. This is Teretz number three. Okay. Gemara now asks, Itmar, Ha'omer L'chaveru, Amenash En L'chol Ha'onah. If a person makes a deal and says, I'm going with this deal, but there is no Onah in this deal. In other words, buyer beware. If you pay more than this, tough luck. So, what's the din? Rav Amar, Yeshol Ha'onah. Even though he said, there's no Onah in the deal. If there is Onah, so then the dinim of Onah apply. Whereas Shmuel says, Shmuel Amar, ain't lo alav onah. No, there is no din of onah in this situation. Now, let us suggest that this machlok is Rav and Shmuel is actually a machlok is Tanoim, as we'll see in a second. Lemo, Rav the Amakar of Meir, Shmuel the Amakar of Yehuda. Let us say this is a machlok is Rav and Shmuel is actually a machlok is Rav Meir, like Rav, and Rav Yehuda, the Tanah Rav Yehuda, like Shmuel, the Tanah, because we learn the following brisa. If a man says to a woman, Omer Isha, Harei Ami Kudeshesli, Amenas She'ein Loch Olai Sher Ksus Yona. A person goes to a marriage. He's not much of a romantic, not much of a husband, but it's a woman's choice to marry such a guy or not. And he says to her, listen, I want to be married to you. This kedushin is that you should be married to me. He gives her a shava pruta, but it's on the following condition, that I have no obligations for share, which is usually translated as food, ksus, which is normally translated as clothing, and shelter, the owner, that's marital relations. So that's the normal translation of this. There are some slightly different opinions, but basically everybody agrees the owner is referring to tashmish, to the rights of the husband to have conjugal relations with his wife, and the wife to have conjugal relations with the husband. So therefore, he's saying, I'm not accepting upon myself these responsibilities. So is this a good marriage or not? So the first opinion is Rav Meir's opinion says, yes, this is an absolutely good Kedusha. The Kedusha takes effect. However, his statement that Amenash in Cholai, Sherek Susiona, Utino Abato, the Tanai is Bato because he's making a Tanai against Mashkos B'Torah. And this is the opinion Divrei Rav Meir. You're not allowed to make a Tanai against Mashkos B'Torah. So he made a statement, Amekudeshesli, fine. And then he makes a Tanai that goes against the Torah, so the Tanai is null and void. This sounds exactly like what Rav said. Rav had said that even though he had said, I'm selling you this item, She'en l'chol lai onah, that there is no din of onah, so you're making it tonight. It's Masha Kosa B'Torah. The Torah tells us, the passage that we just brought down, that you're not allowed to go sell something with cheating. So therefore, Rav says you're making it tonight against Masha Kosa B'Torah, and therefore there is onah in this case, exactly like Rav Meir said. Even though you said there's no Sherek Susi Yonah, there still is going to be Sherek Susi Yonah. That's Rav Meir's opinion. That seems to be the opinion of Rav. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'dover she'b'mamon t'no kayim. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the share and the ksus, which are financial obligations, the man is allowed to say, I'm only doing this if you're moichel those financial obligations. I'm not going through with the marriage if those financial obligations are there. So the woman has the right to say, okay, I'm willing to give up those financial obligations. I'd still rather be married to you. I have enough money of my own. I don't need your share and I don't need your ksus. But the owner part, that's a din that you're not allowed to be moichel. And even Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to be moichel on that. But you see that on financial matters, the person can be moichel. So Shmuel seems to agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rav and Shmuel don't want to be locked into being only like one of these two mandiyamas. So both Rav is going to say, no, I not only hold like Rav Meir, that's clear, but I can even hold like Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara is going to say, the Shmuel is going to say, don't lock me into only Rabbi Yehuda, I can even hold like Rav Meir. So, Amalek, Rav says, don't make this Dumachlukas Tanoim. Certainly, I hold like Rav Meir. However, I know the army, I feel Rabbi Yehuda. My Shita works even Rabbi Yehuda. Because Atkan, lo kama Rabbi Yehuda, Hossam, Rabbi Yehuda said his case, his din, only in the case of the marriage, Elo diyodo, she knows exactly. I'm being told we're going to be married, but there's no share and ksus. So diyodo, she knows this is what I'm going to lose out on. And nevertheless, she's willing to accept such a loss. We turn to Nun Aleph on the base. Avahacha, but In the case where the guy says, I'm going to sell it to you, but there's no din of overcharge, he doesn't know what the overcharge is. Miyad de machel, he doesn't know that he's actually being machel or something. There may or may not be an overcharge here. So even Rabbi Yehuda would be mulled in that situation where there's not a definite amount to share ksus, there's a possibility. So therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, in my case, that there is still onah. Shmuel likewise says, Shmuel Amai, I know the Amrei Filu Remeir. Don't lock me into only being like Rav Yehuda. Of course he's like Rav Yehuda, but I could even be like Rav Meir, because I kind of look like Rav Meir Hatsam. Rav Meir said in the case of Sher Kesus Yonah that you're going against your Mash Kesus Torah, and therefore the din goes through, even though you said it doesn't go through with those, the marriage goes through, but you have to pay the Sher Kesus Yonah, Ella, the Vade Ko'aka, because there you're Vade Oker Mash Kesus Torah. Torah says, a man is responsible to provide his wife a share ksus and owner, and you're saying, I'm not going to do that. So that's vade ka'akar, therefore, you're not allowed to be okay, mash kaz of the Torah. However, avahacha, in the case of, I'm selling you this item on the understanding that there's no onah, avahacha, maybe there is no onah. So who says, miyemar the ka'akar mode, meaning, who says you're definitely being okay, mash kaz of the Torah? So Rav says, I can hold like Rav Yehuda, not only like Rav Meir, and Shmuel says, I can hold like Rav Meir, not only Rav Yehuda. Marius is now going to go and expand on this further. Ravana. Ravana says, "Lididim, if I actually made the Marshmul, I myself heard from Marshmul his shita to understand it better. So, in the case of Omer lechavero, al minas shein lechalai ona, when the person says to his friend, Reuben says to Shimon, I'm selling you this item on the condition al minas shein lechalai ona that you will not go and come back to me and say, hey, you cheated me. So then." Ain't low all over no. He says, okay, I'm accepting this. So Shmuel says a person has the right to accept upon himself this financial arrangement. Because he's saying, on the condition that there is no or not, so then fine. But if you say al menash ain't bo or not, if you say that there is no or not in this case, so then he's saying, I'm telling you there is no or not. But that's the only reason the guy is buying you, because he says, okay, because you're telling me there's no onah. But if it turns out that there is onah, then the deal is null and void. Harei yesh onah, then the dinim of onah do apply. And the post can bring down, according to this, it would appear that even if it's pachus bishir onah, because he's telling him, I'm guaranteeing you, I'm selling you this item with a guarantee that this is the right price. So then even if you find that the price is a little bit overcharged, even if it's pachus bishir onah, then the deal doesn't go through. So that's a ravon and further explained Shmuel Shita. Now the Gemara is going to say, wait a second, you're telling me, Rav, you said you can hold both like Rav Meir and like Rav Yehuda. Let's question that. They say, Hanosei v'hanosein ba'amona. If a person does a business dealing with somebody with amona, what does it mean with amona? So Rashi explains, Mochur b'meh shetuchal. Reuven says to Shimon, here's a bunch of merchandise. Sell it for the best price that you can get it, and I trust you. V'tenli amos, and you'll give to me the profits, and I'll pay you for your work and time and effort. So at such a point, he's giving to him, let's say, Nisan, and he says, by Sivan coming around, sell all the merchandise for the best price that you can. V'nitzo mechola, and I trust you. V'nosin lo schar tircho kinlekama, and I'll pay you for your efforts. But I'm not going to go and question you if you sold it for too much or too little. So this is called anosin v'nosin bi'amona. So, v'omel chaveiro, and likewise in the case where a person says to his friend, al menash she'en l'cholai onah, I'm selling to you on the condition that you're not going to come back to me and say I overcharge you. So in both of these situations, the b'raita says, ein lo olav onah. So this, clearly, the case, al menash she'en l'cholai onah, clearly goes like Shmuel and goes against Rav. So kash on Rav. So the Gemara says, l'rav the omer, anor the amrei, afil Rav Yehuda, homani. So, if you're telling me that this b'raisa goes according to Rav Yehuda, and Rav says, okay, I don't hold like Rav Yehuda, so great, this b'raisa goes according to Rav Yehuda. But if Rav is saying, I hold also like Rav Yehuda, so then this b'raisa clearly doesn't go like Rav's understanding of Rav Yehuda, and it doesn't go certainly like Rav Meir, so then who's the author of this b'raisa? Hamani. So Gemara says, Omar Abaye, Abaye says, you're right, Machbarta, there's no way to understand this b'raisa as being in accord with Rav, and therefore, Machbarta, it's clear, it's right, Rav, Omar, and Rav Meir. Rav really holds like Rav Meir. He can't hold like Rav Yehuda. This price is like Rav Yehuda. And then the Gemara adds, Ushmuel Duamik Rav Yehuda. And Shmuel says like Rav Yehuda. But this, the Mefarshim point out, is Lav Davka. It's just a parallelism he's saying over here. But Lav Davka, Shmuel definitely holds like Rav Yehuda, but we haven't disproven that Shmuel could also hold like Rav Meir. So therefore, this statement, Ushmuel Duamik Rav Yehuda, is Lav Davka. But in any event, Abaye says clearly that Rav only holds like Rav Meir and cannot hold like Rav Yehuda, clearly from this price. Rava gives a different teretz. Rava Amar Lokasha. No, we can reconcile this price even with the idea that Rav holds like Rav Yehuda. Because kan bistam, kan b'mefarish. Rav says, in general, if the person says there's no din of onah, there still is onah. However, b'mefarish, the price specifies, I'm telling you that there's an overcharge over here, and yet, we're not going to have any dinim of onah. So then, even Rav would agree that in this situation there is no onah, as we see in the continuation of this brisa that we just brought down, the Tanya. Because then the brisa says, under what circumstances are we talking about? Hanosim, vanosim, amana, va'omer lechaveru, amanash ein cholai onah. Then ein lo olav onah. Bamed zvar mamur. Under what circumstances are we talking about? Bistam, when it wasn't specifically mentioned. Avo b'mifarish, where the person said, Moche sh'om alokeach, the Moche said to the lokeach, listen, this thing, I'm selling it for 200. I want you to know, yodei anibo she'eino shove elamone. It's only worth 100. Don't buy it if you don't want to pay 200 for it. It's only worth 100. You need it. You're desperate for it. Because I'm selling it for 200. But don't come back to me afterwards to say you overpaid for it. I am only selling it to you, al menash she'ein lecho alay onah. Buy it for 200. Know you're being cheated, but it's your choice. Don't buy it if you don't want to be cheated. So then, in this situation, ein lo olav onah. Then even Rav and Rav Yehuda would agree in this situation that there is no onah. Likewise, if the person who's buying something says to the seller, listen, you're selling this for 100 bucks? It's worth 200. Do you realize that? And the guy says, yeah, I realize it, but I need the cash. I'm willing to sell it for 100. I need cash right now. So he says, okay, I'll buy it for 100. Al-Menashe, no, I don't want you coming back to me after and say, oh, you another 100. So then this situation as well. So therefore, Rav and this Brisa are actually able to say this Brisa is in accord with Rav's opinion as well and in the opinion of Rav Yehuda the Tana. Talking about it, we learn the following brisa. Hanosei v'hanosei b'mona. Exactly the brisa that we just brought down a moment ago. When a person, Reuven, says to Shimon, I'm giving you a whole bunch of merchandise over here, sell it for the best price that you can. So, harei zelo yichashe v'sora b'mona v'seyov v'bishova. So then, he's selling him different types of products over here. Some are good, some are bad. You can't say, well, I'm going to separate it out. For the good products, I want you to get the good price. For the bad products, you get whatever price you get for it. No, that's not the way it is. Elo, ozev zeb b'mona, ozev zeb b'shova. It's across the board. Either you sell them for their value or you sell them for whatever you get, and I trust you. You can't say, well, the ones that are worth a lot, I want you to sell them for the value, and I want to get onah from you if you sell them for less. And the ones that are garbage, okay, that whatever you sell them for is fine. No, either it's the whole deal is exact or the whole deal is based upon trust. Now, the person who's doing the selling, Shimon, he's entitled to get a certain payment for his work. So, number one, he gets the payment for carrying it, for literally putting on his shoulders and having to bring the merchandise to the different places to sell it. He's also entitled to schar gamol. If he needs to hire a truck driver to go and carry it for him, so then he's entitled to that as well. He's likewise entitled to schar punduk, the per diem expenses. So whatever it cost him to go and travel during this period of time, so he has to pay for his hotel, the punduk. He has to pay for, you know, his per diem expenses, the cost of the hotel. However, schar atzo in on hotel, but an actual fee for doing this, not just the expenses, that he's not entitled to get. Why? Shekvar nosen lo schar mishalem. Because that he was already paid for. The Gemara says, what do you mean it was already paid for? Schar mishalem, mehecha ko yavle, where did he get that? So the Gemara says, there were some general rules about these types of deals. Omer Papa, bitzadruye, with these sale of these cotton garments that we spoke about before, for example, the yav arba lemeya. So he gives him 100, and this guy's entitled to keep 4 of them for himself to sell on his own. So that's the payment that he gets for his work. He's given a commission of 4 of the 100 he gets to sell on his own and keep that money for himself. So that's the payment that he gets, and then in addition, he's entitled to his expenses. Next Mishnah. Mishnah tells us, Kama tehei hasela chasera v'lo yeba onah. How much can a coin go down in value? Their coins weren't just, well, it says it's worth a dollar, so it's worth a dollar. There actually was silver content or copper content in the coins, and if it got eroded, so then it wouldn't, in fact, be worth as much. So how much erosion can there be over here? Kama tehei hasela chasera. How much can this coin worth a sela? A sela, we have to know, is worth 2 shekels. A shekel is worth 2 dinars, so there are 4 dinarim in a sela. And we'll have some other exchange rates in a moment that Rashi will tell us. So how much can the sela go down and still be considered a valid coin? And there is no onah. If you give it to somebody, he can't come and say, hey, this coin isn't worth what you said it was. So Rebbei Omer, arba isaros, and Rashi adds the critical word over here, arba isaros, dalid isurin lisela. For each sela, you're entitled to 4 isaros for it to be considered still a valid deal. And up to that point, it's a valid deal. But if there are four isaros missing from a sela, so then isar ledinor, that would be, since it's four in a sela, so a sela has four dinarim in it, so then it would be one isar, a certain coinage known as an isar, for every single dinar. And Rashi is going to explain to us, v'hu echot mechadalet, this rate is 1/24th. So here, the onar rate is 1/24th, not 1/6, which the Gemara will question. So it's 1/24th. And therefore, Rashi says, how do we get to this 1/24th? He says, because there are vav ma kesef in a dinar. There are six ma of kesef in a single dinar, and each ma is worth shnei punjonim. So therefore, there are 12 punjonim in a dinar, and each punjon is worth shnei isarim. So therefore, there are 24 isarim in a dinar. So isar ledinar, the 1/24th of a dinar, if it the tracks that much from the sela, so then you in fact have a erosion that is onah. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, it's arba pundonios, that is four for every sela. And again, a sela has four dinar in it, so it's going to be one punjon for every dinar. A punjon was twice as much as an isar, so it's going to be, instead of 1/24th, it's going to be 1/12th. And finally, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's the standard 1/6. We turn to Nun Beis Amud Aleph, Shmona Punjanios. It is going to be 8 punjanios for a sela. So that's going to be, if there are 4 dinarim in a sela, so it's going to be 1/4 of 8. It's going to be Shnei Punjanim Ledinar, which is going to be 1/6, because there's Shnei Punjanim, that's 1 ma, and there is 6 ma in a dinar, so therefore it's 1/6. So Rabbi Shimon says the standard rate of Onah, 1/6 over here, and we'll have to ask why the other opinions that we just brought down, why the opinion of Rav Meir, 1/24th, and the opinion of Yehuda, 1/12th, why did they argue in regards to Onah by a coin as opposed to Onah by a garment, by a talis, as the Gemara will say, or by another type of merchandise. Mishnah continues and says, "Ad masay mutal hasir." When is this shear, the grace period over here? When we say beyond this shear, the deal is done and there is no retraction, there is no paying back of the onah. Ad masay mutal hasir. So here we have bikrachim in the big cities, ad kidei sheyira lishulchani, until the time that it takes it to show it to the money changers. That's like the tagar in the case of the merchandise. So here, until you show it to the professional money changers, say, "Oh yeah, that's a good coin." No, that's not a good coin. As opposed to in the small cities, bikfarim, in the little villages, ad arvi shabbosos, you have till erev Shabbos. They didn't have money changers, as the Gemara will explain. So therefore, at the market, when you go on erev Shabbos to buy stuff, if nobody's accepting the coin, that's when you know that the coin is an eroded coin, and you can go back to the buyer. But if nobody said anything by erev Shabbos, so then in the marketplace, so then the deal is a good deal, and you can't go back and afterwards say, "Hey, I got cheated." The Mishnah continues and says, "Imaya makira," if the one who had given the bad coin ultimately comes back to a deal with this guy, and he wants to give him back this bad coin, even if it's after 12 months, he has to accept it. And the moral is, doesn't this go against what we just said? So we'll have to explain that. The Elo, all of El Taromas, and somebody only has a Taromas over here. And again, the moral will have to explain, who's talking over here that has a Taromas and has the complaint but can't go get his money back? So we'll have to go and see the Gemara what this exactly means. And finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, a person can use this coin. It has a tzura on it, so it's a perfectly good coin to go and use for an exchange to deconsecrate Maaseh Sheni produce onto this coin and make this coin be Maaseh Sheni funds. That's allowed. She'eino ela nefesh ra, because the bottom line is this coin is a good coin, and it's only some people that are nefesh ra. These are people that are very stingy, so they're not going to accept this coin for usage. But it really is a good coin, and therefore we accomplish v'tzarta kesem yadecha, that you can deconsecrate your ma'aseh sheni produce on this coin. Let's go weiter. Again, I'd like to catch up and with this Amud Nun Beis Amud Aleph. So Rimini, our Gemara seems to be contradicted with the following brisa. Ad kama te'asela chasera. The brisa says, what is the shear of onah for a seller that you can no longer use a seller? Be ab onah, and there should be onah to it. Now, the brisa says, up until this point, the seller is allowed to be chasera. But beyond this point, there is a din of onah. Now, our Mishnah seemed to say it the other way, that there is onah when you reach this point. And that point is onah. So, again, you're looking at the exact amount of the onah. The Brice and the Mishnah seem to be at odds with each other. What do we mean by that? So, Amar Papa, I'll explain to you, Lokasha. It depends on your perspective. Tana didon in our Mishnah, when it said, this is the shear of onah, our Mishnah had said, kama te'asela chasera, how much could be missing? and it's not called onor, the lobby onor. In other words, that missing amount is still good. So the Tana of our Mishnah, kachosh mimata lamala. He's saying it's good, it's good, it's good. Oh, at this point, it's no good. Whereas the Tana of the Braisa, the Tana of Braisa says it's no good. It's no good, it's no good, it's no good. Oh, when you reach this point, then it's good. So they're saying the exact same thing. They're not having a machlokes. They're just coming at it from different angles. And that's why the Lashon is a little bit different. Then the Mishnah is quoted. It says, Maishnah b'sela d'plige, or Maishnah b'talas lo plige. Our Mishnah, we have a three-way machlokes. We have Ramei who says it's a 24th. We have Yehudu who says it's a 12th. And we have Rishimon that says that it's a 6th. Now, we only have this machlokes in regards to a seller. In regards to business, so we did have a machlokes where we tarfed and the chachamim, a third versus a sixth, but there everybody agreed, whatever yeshita was, that that's the amount. So we had the yeshita, the chachamim, that's a sixth. It's a sixth across the board. So how come over here we have so many different opinions, and in our Mishnah, in regards to merchandise, it's a sixth across the board? We don't have Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi are arguing in our Mishnah previously in regards to merchandise. So Maishnah b'sela d'pligi, Rabbi Shimon is argued with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, and in regards to merchandise, he's not argued with. So that's exactly the answer. Amar Rava, man tana talis, Rabbi Shimon. Yeah, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda argue with that as well. But that was a stop Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon. But in fact, Rava says that they all argue with him over there. That's Teretz number one. Teretz number two, Abaye Amar talis, in regards to merchandise, a talis, a garment, a person is willing to accept an overcharge of up to a sixth. Why is that? Because the Amri Inshe, people say, Ashik legabach, accept an overcharge to put on clothing. A person desperately needs clothing. You can't go around unclothed. So be willing to pay a little bit more for a nice suit. However, vishabli krasich, but when it comes to buying food, get an exact amount, because if you don't buy from this guy, you buy from that guy. Clothing's not so clear, get another garment. So with food, you get something else. So pay the exact amount. And likewise, Sela, Kivan de lo sagi le lamocho. So too, in regards to a coin, hey, that coin, if it's not going to be good tender, if it's not going to be able to be used, then person going to be makbid. So therefore, Rebbe says, even a 24th, the person going to be makbid on. And Rabbi Yehuda says, even a 12th, the person going to be makbid on. No, Rabbi Shimon says it's the standard 1/6 that the person is makbid on. But now we understand why, in regards to coins, we have other opinions that say even a smaller amount is not considered a good sale. Now, Gufa, we repeat exactly what we just learned. At kamate asela chaser of hiei bo ono. The Braisa says, how much is missing from the seller? How much is eroded away from the seller in order for it to be considered no longer a good seller? So Rebbeir Omer, arba isaros, isaladinar. It's arba isaros per seller. That's critical that word per seller is there. And therefore, there are four dinarim in a seller. So if it's four isarim for a seller, so it'll be 1/4 of that for a dinar. So isaladinar. His share is 1/24. There are 24 isarim in a dinar. So his share is 1/24 could be the share of onah. Riudomer dalid pundonios. There are four pundonios for a seller. So it means one punjon ledinar. Punjon ledinar, which is 1/12 of a dinar. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, shmona pundonios for a seller. So there are shnei punjonim ledinar. Since you take a quarter of that eight, it's two. So there are two punjonim ledinar. And shnei punjonim is one ma, which is 1/6 of a dinar. And therefore, his share is 1/6. Now, then the Braisa says, Yasser al kain mochro bishavya. But if it's more than this, so then you sell it for its value. What does this mean? Rashi says it means bisela yofe, which we're going to have in tomorrow's year on daf. We're going to see that the Gemara says that if it hasn't worn out to the shear of Onah, you're allowed to basically use it at whatever the face value of that coin is. So, the seller yofer. So, in this situation, you can use it as a seller. Now, the Gemara says, Ad kama tipaches v'irashay l'kaima. Now, they're asking a general question. How much can a coin be eroded away and you're still allowed to use it as a coin? No, bisela, in regards to a seller, if it's eroded away more than 50%, ad shekel. So up to 50%, you can still use it as a coin. But if it's eroded away more than that, so then Rashi tells us, sela hatavua, you have a minted seller, upolches v'holech ad shekel. It's eroded away, and now it's only worth the silver in it, is only worth the shekel, half of it. So mutal kaimo, up to 50%, you can still use it. The ain osri l'ramos bo b'nei yodom l'mokur b'sela yofeh, l'fisha piche shalo nikar. You don't have to worry that somebody's going to try to pass it off as a full seller, because the erosion is clear, it's visible, and therefore nobody's going to be fooled and say, hey, this is a seller. No, it really is a shekel, they'll be able to see it, because it's recognizable. Shepiche shalo nikar, it is recognizable that it's lost some of its silver content. Avo mishapaches mishekel. But if it's gone down more than 50%, lo yikamenu. You're not allowed to keep it anymore. Lefisha balu ramos, because now it's going to be used to cheat people. Ulamochor b'torah shekel. People are going to say you're selling it as a shekel. She'ein pichesh lo nikar legabi shekel. Here you're dealing with a smaller amount, and its diminution, its erosion, is not going to be recognizable because mishum shehu mitok shehu rochav shebetchila. It's as wide as it was originally, and the extra thinness in it is not going to be recognizable. And therefore, eino nira choser, it's not going to be recognized as missing. So therefore, now we understand what the Bryce is telling us. It tells us, ad kama tipachas vei rashoi lekaima, besela ad shekel. If it's more than 50%, then you can't use it anymore. The dinar, in regards to a dinar, ad rova, until it is, now we're going to suggest right now, it means a quarter of a dinar, which the Gemara will question momentarily and say, wait a second, by the shekel, it was a half the size of the sela, so the sela could be reduced to up to 50%. Why are we saying the dinar can be reduced to 25% and still be usable? Shouldn't it be 50% also? We'll explain, yeah, it means 50%. We'll see that in a second. So, bedina radrova, and pachos mikain isar, if it is even an isar's worth more than that, usar, then you're not allowed to go. And we have the word lotzia. Some are in Gari's that word lotzia. In any event, the Gemara will now question, what do you mean that it is less than an isar? It should be even a mashu. Why does that be a full Esar's less? Even a mashu beyond the shear should be enough. We'll see that in a moment. Now, this coin that's not usable is not usable for anything. Lo l'tagor, you can't give it to a professional. Lo l'chorim, not to somebody who's an anas, somebody who's a tough guy. He's going to go and use it to extort people. For lo l'horog, and not to a murderer. He's going to go and use this coin to go and murder people. So, mitnei shemiramin bo esachem, because these people are cheats. They're bad people, and they're going to use this coin in a way that will unfortunately cheat somebody. Ella, what should you do with such a coin that you have it? Ella yikvena, you should go make a hole in it, pierce it, v'yitlena, and then go and use it as a necklace and hang it, b'tzavar b'no, and hang it around the neck of your son, or b'tzavar b'to, or your daughter. Now, that was the braisa. Now let's go back and dissect it. Omar, we just said, b'sela ad shekel, however, b'dina ad rova. We said a sela can lose 50% up to a shekel and still be usable, but a dinar, if it goes down to even 25%, it's still usable. So the obvious question is, maishto b'sela ad shekel, why a sela, do we say a 50% depreciation is significant, whereas maishto b'dinar ad rova, whereas a dinar, we let it go down to 25% of its original amount. So, Amar Baya Bayis explains, no, because my rova, when we said a rova, we didn't mean a quarter of a dinar. Diktani nami, we meant rova shekel. It meant down to a quarter of a shekel, which means, in other words, 50% of a dinar. A quarter of a shekel is 50% of a dinar, because there are two dinarim in a shekel. So therefore, it was parallel. 50% of the sela is still usable. Below that, it's not usable. And 50% of the shekel, below that, it's not usual, and that's going to be half of a dinar. And I'll show you that this is right. Omer Rava, Rava supports what Abaye said. Often we have Abaye and Rava arguing, but here Rava supports what Abaye says. Daikonami, look at the wording. It says the Tani Rova. It didn't say the word Revia, it said Rova. The Loktani Revia, Shmamino, that it meant a quarter of the shekel and not a quarter of the dinar, which therefore is a quarter of a shekel, is a half of a dinar, keeping that 50% ratio. Now the Gemara says, Lomale le misle le dinar b'shekel. So then why did Badafka say a quarter of a shekel? Why didn't it just say a half of a dinar? So the Gemara says, Milsa gavurchi kamashwal. It's teaching us something in addition to the regular dinar that it taught us. Dika dinar d'asim shekel, that a dinar can come from a shekel. That this shekel that he wrote it away is now worth the weight of a dinar, so then it can be used as a dinar. And in fact, this goes in accord with what Ravami said. Messiah Lila Ravami. What did Ravami say? The Omer Ravami. Dinar habami shekel mutal kaimo. That if you had a shekel originally and it got eroded away and now it's only worth a dinar, so it's mutal to be mekaimed as a dinar. However, dinar habami sela. But if you had a sela and it then comes down eroded to 25% of itself to a dinar, then also kaimo, then you're not allowed to go and keep it. Okay. The Gemara now says, pachos mikain isar usar, and again, the gears of lotzia, many are not going to is lotzia. Now, we said, if it gets to 50%, you're not allowed to keep it. So, why should be even a mashu? Why a full isar below that? My comment, what is it telling us? So, I'm Rabbi Yochim, Rabbi is saying, pachas ha-sela yosem michteo onoa isar usar, that if the sela had deteriorated, had eroded to more than the shear of onoa by an isar, so when 50% and then an is worth, then it's usur. So Amalei Rava, Rava says, wait a second, I don't understand that. Ihachi afilu mashu nami. why would it take a full Iser? Once it went below the halfway point, so then it should be forbidden. Why do you have to then have an Iser below the halfway point? So therefore, Rava says, no, that's not the right understanding. El Amar Rava. Rava says, Pochasa Sela Iser Ledinar Aser. What it's telling us is, if the Sela becomes eroded away per dinar by an Iser, then it's Aser. And this is basically Paskin, who's stomach Rebbeah, that we Paskin over here like Rebbeah, the opinion of our Mishnah that is 1/24th. And therefore, that's what it's coming to teach us, that we Paskin here like Rebbeah, the shear of 1/24th. Okay. Mark continues, says, Dan Hus, we learn in the Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah tells us, Sela Shenifsela, if you have a coin, a Sela, that became eroded away, and it's possible, Vihiskino Shihei Shoka Bo Mishkalos. So the guy says, okay, I'm not going to use it as legal tender, but I'm going to use it as a weight on my balance scale. So then, Tmeya, it now has the capability of becoming Tome, because it's now a Kli. It's used as a balance scale weight. Until now, it was a coin. Coins don't become Tome, but this Kli, this coin that's now being used as a weight, has the ability to accept Tumah. How much can you have this coin eroded away and still be allowed to keep it? So the Gemara tells us, the Mishnah and Kalim tells us, La Sela Shnei Dinarim. For every Sela, if you have two Dinarim, then it's still acceptable to be used. But if it's less than that, Pachos Mikain Yokos, then you have to go and destroy it. So again, the 50% rule. So the Gemara now asks, Yasser, okay, my, what would be Halacha if it's more than the 50%? So we have two opinions here. Amar Avuna says, even if it's more than 50%, Pachos became, even if it's still not eroded 50%, you still have to destroy it, Yakos. Yasser Akein Yakos, and certainly if it's less than 50%, you have to go and destroy it. We'll explain his reasoning in a moment. Ravami disagrees. Ravami Amar, Pachos became Yakos. Sure, if it's less than 50%, you certainly have to go and destroy it, because people will definitely try to use it. However, Yasser Akein Yakain, but if it's more than 50%, you are allowed to keep it. Mar now asks and says the following, Meisvei. We turn to Nun Beis Omid Beis. Baruch Hashem, we're accomplishing for Pesach already. So it says in the Brisa we just learned, Yasser Kein Mochu B'Shavya, if it is destroyed less than 50%. In other words, it's still more than 50% over there. We had said you're allowed to go and sell it for its value. In other words, you can still use it as legal tender. And Rashi says, Mutar L'Kaima, you can go keep it. Now, what does that mean? My lab, Shepichas or Yosem if the Onah, doesn't mean that you have more than the Onah here and you're allowed to keep it. So that clearly is the kasha on Rav Huna. So Gemara says, no, it's not. Yisera, when we say over here, more, Bakati lo pochas or b'chnei onos, it hasn't yet reached the stage of onor, and that small amount, then you're allowed to keep it. Mochu b'shavya. Gemara asks again on Rav Huna. Meisvei, at kama ti poches v'hei rashoi l'kaima. How much does it have to erode, and yet you're still allowed to keep it? So for a sela, a checkal up to 50%. Now that implies, my love, the poches purta purta, that it reached there a little bit by a little bit. So how can you tell me, Rav Huna says, even pachos became, you have to go and destroy it. So Gemara answers, no, we're not talking about it eroded a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. No, did not fill the nura. It somehow fell into a fire, and it eroded all at once, b'chad uzimne, at one time, and therefore now it's half the size. So here, you can keep it because it's 50%. But if it had decreased slowly by slowly, Rav Huna would say, no, you can't keep it. Let's go a little bit weiter to that's Omar Mar. We just repeat what we just said. We have to destroy this coin. We can make a hole in it and go and hang it as a necklace for your son or your daughter. Wait a second. Where it says, Ramina, we have a brisa. So you're not allowed to keep it as a weight amongst your weights. You can't put it in your scrap pile with your other silver. And you're not allowed to make a hole in it. It says, you're not allowed to do this. You can't make it as a necklace. So what should you do with it? Either grind it up, or go and melt it down into the component metal, or yakuts, or actually destroy it. Or yolich liyamamelech, or throw it into the yamamelech. So here it clearly says you can't make it as a necklace. So how do you reconcile? So Amar Elazar, Elazar says, others say, Barmilo Rav Huna, Amar Rav Elazar, who's Rav Huna saying the name of Rav Elazar, lo kasha, there's no steer over here, kan v'emset, depends where you make the hole. If you make the hole in the middle, so then it's clear that it's not going to be able to be used as a coin, everybody knows it's a necklace. And kan v'emset, but if you make it all the way at the top or at the side of the coin, so then it could be further cut away, and it won't notice that you made a hole in it, and therefore that could cheat people, and therefore you can't make the hole towards the top. You can make a hole in the middle, and that would be good. With Baruch Hashem, we caught up an extra full omelet. We'll do the same Mirtz Hashem tomorrow, and this will be perfectly set up for Pesach. Everybody should have a wonderful Pesach. Mirtz Hashem is coming up on us, and Mirtz Hashem, everybody should have a wonderful day.